Hey guys, oh my gosh, I cannot wait for you to see this amazing interview with Wayne Barringer. Now he tells you about how he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, how he got into leadership, how in 2008 he had left a wonderful career to start his own. And you know, 2008 was a collapse and how he came back up. I cannot wait for you to see this really inspiring and amazing interview. I love finding good humans like Wayne to bring to you. So guys, be prepared to be inspired and transformed and really take in what Wayne is saying. If you are a leader or an entrepreneur or somebody who's running a company, get your ears on. You got to listen up. All right, here we go. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so excited you're here. I want you to make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that stuff. You know why? Because you guys have put me on the map. I have just talked to my podcast coach. I'm the top 1.5% podcast to listen to in the country, over 100,000 downloads, and you guys just keep growing the community. I am so stoked that you're here because you know I go around this planet of ours getting only the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And so today I found somebody who's so cool. I cannot wait for you to meet him. He is Wayne Barringer. And you know, his life is a testament to the transformative power of leadership and resilience. And in 2018, he embarked on this transformational journey, not just up the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro. Hello, girlfriend ain't doing that. So you know he already is on a whole league of his own, okay? But he's into the depths of visionary leadership, turning profound insight into actionable strategies. And at Boeing, I remember we were talking and he told me how he revolutionized the team dynamics, skyrocketing employee satisfaction from 52% to 89% in just 3 years. And you guys all know that there's something that is really affecting a lot of our corporations is satisfaction, right? So in a corporate world that's dynamic and often challenging, he stands out as a beacon of guidance and inspiration. So prepare yourself to be inspired and transformed as we talk to Wayne here on Straight Talk. Let's do it, Wayne. How are you?
I mean, how could I not be anything other than fantastic after an intro like that? That's awesome.
I'm doing You're great. Awesome.
It's so great to be here with you, Nina, and everybody else too.
Thank you. Yes, I have an amazing community. It took me 4 years to grow and to like pour into them so much value. And it's, you know, experts like you. It's like, you know, people like you who are really good people who are experts in their field, but also want to do something good in the world, you know, just want to like share the love, if you will. And, you know, I, you know, for a while was wondering, what is my podcast going to become, you know, and do I go into the negative space? Do I go into the cultural space? Do I go into, and I decided, no, I think there's enough of that. So I want to speak to people like you, Wayne, like people who really want to do something to change the world. So let's start off with knowing a little bit more about you, Wayne. So who are you? I know I give a little intro, but I know there's a lot more going on. So let's do it.
Well, there's a couple things maybe. Yeah, but no, that's a great intro. I'm a guy that's been all my career, an ad agency, PR agency guy, graduated with a marketing PR degree. And then in 2008, I decided enough of that. I want to go do my own thing. And so I made plans, gave 6 month notice, left that. And we all know what happened in late 2008.
Yes.
I have two young children, a wife that was taking care of them and not earning money outside. And here I was with really no plan and just an idea. Scared the hell out of me. Certainly it scared her. We made it through. In 2011, I wound up going to Boeing and taking over there. It was a very large, it was a 300 person internal creative team.
Oh my gosh.
And you alluded to some of the dysfunction that that team had experienced as I was taking over. 52% employee satisfaction. They were not happy campers. And I was put in place to either fix this organization or they were going to shut it down. That's essentially what the CMO would tell me at the time. I left that role in 2020 after we were able to kind of fix it up. And now I do what we were able to do with that team, with teams across the country, Hasbro, NBC, Universal, UKG, universities, many others. And so I've learned a ton about myself and about the world and just about how you can show up differently between a corporate environment and a entrepreneurial one. And then in the midst of that, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. So
why not?
That's a little bit about me. Yeah.
That's awesome. I do want to touch a little bit on the journey of leaving in 2008, because I feel like, well, you know, right? There was that, like, there was like that silent quitting time that we were going through. Or there was also times like right after, especially after the lockdowns, where people were really questioning themselves, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? Right? It became a thing, and it really affected a lot of people. I was one of them, right? You affected your way you were thinking and how much time you were pouring into your organization and business and not into your children or your life or whatever. So when you decided to leave, you said you really didn't have much of a plan. So tell me about that. How did, I mean, that must have been scary as all get out. But also, like you said, we got through it. But what does that mean, we got through it? How did you get through it? What was that? What did that look like?
Yeah, great question. Anyone out there who has worked in a PR firm as a staff member or an executive, or an ad agency, knows that the agency business is pretty tough. It can be challenging. Mm-hmm. And the challenges are not existential, but they are really significant pressures on your time. And if you don't learn, and at the time I had not learned, how to really balance myself and all of the demands of myself, as I mentioned, I had two young kids, I had a wife, and try to have a great personal life and all the things. I just was sort of at the time, my limit. I thought I might want to be a kindergarten principal. I thought I might want to be a school teacher. But the big thing I thought I wanted to do was just consult and own my own business. I always had this chip on my shoulder that I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so I left with that ambition. I saved up a bunch of money for the whole last year. We got really frugal at home so that we could have this safety net, and I left. And it wasn't long after that before the market started to shudder and shake. Mm-hmm. And my financial acumen felt like that is the end of the world. Mm-hmm. So, and what I mean by that is I didn't have much financial acumen at the time. So that's what led me to it. It was just like, I'm done with this. I think I can do my own thing. I've always wanted to do it. All my family, all my friends, my entire circle had always been employed, W-2 employees.
Right, right.
I had a significant title and made decent money. And people would say, Wayne, what are you doing? Like, why are you leaving that? Like, this is what people dream of, and you're leaving that aside. I just knew there was something else for me. But then all of that happened, and I got scared, as I mentioned.
Of course. Wow,
what's going to happen to my family? I've got responsibilities. My kids are young. They have to go to college someday. I want to provide for my wife and our home. And I want to give back to the community, which is something that's been important to me for a long time. And now I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. And because I was so, I don't know, cocky, thoughtless, whatever adjective you might want to use, probably all of them, and I didn't have a good plan, now I was stuck with my sort of, you know, roll your pants down, if you will. So when I said we made it through it, I just tried my hardest to get clients, to get conservative on how we spend money, even more so than the last year. And we made a lot I made a lot less money, you know, than I had the previous years in the PR firm and things. But we made it through it. I had had enough of a safety net. We burned most of that. And I made enough, you know, a few thousand here and there. And then wound up getting a call from Boeing and got a bit of a life raft, perhaps.
Yeah.
Back into
understand that.
There's a, you know, steady paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I know that a lot of conversations that I have are people that are going through that right now. You know, they're just, they want their own thing. They want to step out. They want to, but they're afraid, and this economy is not helping. You know, it's very expensive out there. Everything is very overpriced, and it's just, it's a hard gig, right? And let's be real. Even if you're making $100,000 right now, you feel really broke. You feel really broke. And that's real. Right. That's why I wanted you to touch on that, because I wanted it for two things. One, to hear the wisdom of how you went through that, but also to encourage others, to let them know they're going to get through it also. Yes. You know, it might not look the same after, but it's okay. You're still going to get through it with a lot of lessons learned, a lot of lessons, some hard, some great, but a lot of lessons. I always try to look at it that way. In 2008, we lost our home and our cars. We went homeless, and we lived, you know, in people's living rooms and changed in people's basements and, you know, slept in our car and did what we had to do. And it was one of the hardest times. On top of that, Wayne, at that time, every shelter was packed so much to the brim, they couldn't take any more people. Like, that's how bad it was in 2008. Yeah. Right. So that's why I was like, I want to hear you how you got through it, because I got through it in a very different way, but similarly, had nose to the ground and just kept going. I started my own business at that time and everything. Same thing. It was tough, right? Tough. I don't want to go through that again. I'm glad for the lessons, but I don't want to do that again. So now that you left, you left Boeing and you decided, you know, that you're going to, did you just kind of just restart where you left off before you entered Boeing, or you started a whole new thing?
Great question. So I was at Boeing until 2020. I left in 2020. In the middle of another recession.
I was going to say, good timing, Wayne.
I'm going to date myself, but I started my career after college in 1991, which was another recession. And in that role, I got laid off after 6 months, just like almost everybody else did at that time. So the 91
recession. You're a rebel. You're a rebel, Wayne. That's what it is.
Employed. But then the next two, I walked out. So but to your question about what did I kind of pick up where I left off? Definitely that fear that had been programmed, or I let program from 2008 crept back in. Like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you gonna do? Like, hey, is this gonna work? Should I just go apply for jobs? And you know, not recreate that tragedy again, although it was nothing like yours. And I got some good advice a long time ago that came back to me in those moments, which was, are you going to let that fear overtake you again? Or are you going to just look at that fear and go, you don't serve me anymore? This is a new situation. I'm a new person, or a different person, or at least an evolved person.
An evolved person, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Evolved professional. The Boeing experience and the Kilimanjaro experience, tremendously valuable from a lot of different perspectives. So I took 6 weeks completely away and then decided I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to do this as a, maybe this is a bridge as a freelance position until my next job or whatever. I'm going to start an LLC. I'm going to, you know, get a lawyer and insurance and all the things that you need for it to be a legitimate company. And that's what I did. And
good for you.
It's not been without its moments of fear. I just don't think that ever goes away. But as I sit here today, we've grown every single year. This is year four. I expect 2024 to be bigger than 2023. And I can't believe it. I can't believe how great everything is. And the lesson is, it can be that great. Like, just do the things that you need to do to get to where you want to be. It doesn't have to be a horror show. So.
You know what, Wayne, what's happening right now, at least for the women that I have in my, you know, group coaching program and stuff like that, is the shiny penny, is the silver thing that they go to next. And that is where we're struggling, right? Because you'll be in the middle of like, okay, we are building out this. For instance, I help women build out their coaching programs from their wisdom, their, you know, and their skill sets and all. We build out a 90-day roadmap to get their businesses going. But then they start going, oh, but what about, and I'm like, it's going to take you 4 years to go through this 90-day workshop because you keep looking at the shiny thing. Like, yeah. Let's stop doing that. And it, it happens to a lot of us, right, Wayne? So you're probably finding that too in the kind of work that you're doing. And I'm not sure right now, you know, if you're dealing with that too much with corporations, but I'd love to dig into what you're doing now. Like, what kind of services do you provide and how you're doing that? So let's get into that. What's up, y'all? It's Nina here. I recently stumbled across this little thing and this absolute game changer for me. And I just had to share it with you because, hello, you know, I'd be sharing my stuff with y'all, right? This is called Magic Mind. And this little tiny elixir, y'all, this thing, okay, it's empty because Nina be drinking it, okay? This little elixir has been like my little secret weapon, and it's packed with powerful ingredients like adaptogens and nootropics and matcha. I mean, this little thing is like magic for real, okay? I've really noticed the difference. It has really helped me with my level of laser focus and productivity and reaching my goals for the day. And for someone like me who's all about living my life with intention and purpose, this is priceless. All right, this is priceless. I am totally going to recommend this to you. And you guys know I recommend only things I love and trust. Here's the best part. Magic Mind is amazing. And they have a link for you, magicmind.com/straighttalk. You can use that special discount, Straight Talk 20. It only has one T, Straight Talk 20, to get 20% off of your first time purchase for the next 10 days. If you apply that code, you are going to get up to 50% off. So head over to magicmind.com/straighttalk. Your future self is going to thank you for it, and it's going to thank me.
Yeah, no problem. I definitely have shiny object syndrome. So I'm
me too.
I'm Wayne Berger, and I'm a shiny object, syndromatic. What I've learned about that, and I'd love to talk to you about what we do today. What I've learned about that is just a distraction mechanism.
Yeah.
Because we're afraid or we're unable or we're not developed yet in how to really create a focus and a commitment to pursue one thing. And sometimes, and I certainly went through this too, it feels like when you exclude these other options, you're narrowing your ability to be successful.
Yeah.
And what is actually true is the complete opposite. The more I've been able to focus, and I've gotten this advice, and it's been true, even though I resisted the advice for some time.
Me too.
The narrowing of focus actually helps you be more successful, more effective. So that's what I would say about that. What we do now with all this unbelievable learning that I've been fortunate to, you know, been a part of, we help, typically it's large companies, but it's been as small as startups. When they feel disoriented, when they feel like their teams aren't hitting on all cylinders, when the leadership has pressure on them that they're not sure how to get out from under, we help them resolve those situations. So it's essentially one-on-one leadership coaching,
okay,
team training and workshops where it's needed, because you need to bring the team along as well.
Yep.
And then the third thing is essentially the formula that we wound up creating through Fits and Starts in the Boeing experience, which is transformation and turnaround. Okay. And again, that can work for small, large. We typically work with Fortune 1000 sized companies and teams within those companies and helping them do those three things.
That's really good, right? Because I think it's one of the things, maybe you could speak better to this, but I feel like companies are trying to become more aware. And I think it's because there's a lot of pushback, right? People are just not where, you know, I'm 51, right? When I was growing up, it was about getting into a really good company, staying there forever, you know, putting your money in retirement, retire and die. I mean, that's just what the plan was. It's not the plan anymore. There's a lot of people now that are in leadership or CEOs or, you know, in the C-suites that are struggling with their teams or just don't even want to do it anymore, right? So, and I know that for me, I was a director and I had a team of about 20 people. And I just remember I had to adjust. It is a different workforce. And so thank goodness that I'm into the coaching NLP and all that kind of stuff space, because that helped me kind of Nina, it's not good or bad. It just is. How do we manage this? You know, I love that you're doing that with corporations. So if you're coming into an organization or a corporation, do you tend to work mainly with the management and the higher ups first, or do you think that it's working with the team first and then, like, how do you approach it?
It is the overwhelming preference to work with the VP level and above first.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because the tone that they set mm-hmm. is everything in terms of how their organization functions. What I always say is a person's organization is a reflection of their leadership. Mm-hmm. And so if the organization isn't hitting on all cylinders, then you have to look at the top leadership and find out what they're doing that's creating the barriers that those mm-hmm. people and that system isn't working. Sometimes one of the things they're doing is not putting the right people in the right seats.
Yes.
And sometimes, often, their own fears, their own myopic views are getting in the way of the right people doing the right things. So, yes, we always start at the top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so good, right? Because I think one of the things that we tend to forget is that they're human. And, you know, the VPs and the C-suites are human beings. And they also have their insecurities. They also have their stuff that they're going through. And, you know, when you're in like a directorship management or just, an employee or something, you might look at them maybe as an enemy or somebody who's not there for you, or, you know, they just want to, you know, make you do all the work or all that. I've heard all these comments, right? Yeah. So here's a question. How do you deal with, or how do you convince a VIP, a CEO or something like that, that maybe they have to maybe look at themselves first? Because the challenge, Wayne, that's a challenge. I worked in corporate a few times and it is really, really difficult to have them understand that you're not against them, that you're with them, and that they don't need to be so defensive, and they don't need to know it all. They don't need to know it all. That's why you hire smart people, you know? So how do you approach that? How do you even break that barrier?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out. It is a absolute, I've had to learn a completely different method, a different way to convey what's in my head and my heart to people. Like in the corporate environment, in the agency environment, it's very direct and it's very fast. And it's like you said, I was scared. I didn't know anything, but I didn't want anybody to know that. So I was projecting a different mentality. And certainly there's a lot of VP levels and above that are like that. Many people are like mm-hmm. that. Most of us are like that.
Yeah.
What we try to do is help connect with them first. Like what I've learned is, and I didn't used to value this at the level that I do today, making connections is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
If you can make connections, you can build trust, and then you can actually be heard and you can hear. You can listen and mm-hmm. actually absorb what other people are saying. If you feel like there's a conflict or a difference of opinion and you have a conflict, both people shut down. I've got a book. It's not on my shelf, but it's on the floor. And the whole thing talks about how, confirmation bias just stops communication. Mm. So I try to really understand that connection first and then listen to what they're saying about their team. And then ask them where they fit in that. The first exercise I do with almost everyone. The first thing we actually do is we talk about owning your calendar versus your calendar owning you.
Mm-hmm.
We all think money is the most important currency in the world. It's not. It's time. Time is going to run out. And in a workday, it runs out every day. And if you're not optimizing that, the second thing we talk about, and this is gets to your question, is that what I've learned is that we all have human traits. Some of us are organized. Some of us are visionary. Whatever those traits are objective, just traits. When we're at our best, those traits are our superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're not at our best, when those traits get overexpressed or left unchecked, those same traits are our kryptonite. Mm-hmm. It's great for these executives through an exercise where they can just list this out and see, you know, where their strengths kind of bounce up against that kryptonite and help teach them to keep it on the superpower side. The third thing we do is discovery. So we go in and listen to them, but then we also talk to their peers and talk to their boss and talk to their team and bring back a very objective, but no sugar added, perspective on what's going on in their organization. And so once we connect, once they understand themselves and their superpowers of kryptonite, and then they get a true sense for what's happening in the organization, it doesn't take much before they go, okay, I know how I need to adjust. Help me do that. And then mm-hmm. that's how the organization adjusts too.
Yeah. And I hope that those who are listening, because I know I have a lot of solopreneurs and entrepreneurs and CEOs and stuff that listen to the show. And I know that a lot of them are growing teams. And you know what, guys, I'll be honest, you have to do this for me, this is smart to do from the get, because the truth of the matter is that rehiring and retraining is so damn expensive. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And in a lot of trying to find the right person that fits. But if you realize that maybe you're putting somebody in a position that they're not strong in, if you realize that, you can quickly adjust, change it, and they feel better too. Because then they feel they're thriving now because they're in that position that they should be in, you know? I think one of the biggest mistakes we make in businesses and corporate world and all that is that we think that a person who's been with us a few years and is naturally good, let's say at sales, should now be the sales manager, but they have no management skills, right? So I think this is where this is important. Am I right? I'm sure you're hitting that all the time because it happens a lot.
We work with mostly creative and marketing and communications teams. You can imagine why, since that's my background. That's sort of the natural network. And creative people and salespeople are not dissimilar in the way that you just described, where great designers are great designers and they can produce quickly, and all of a sudden they're asked to manage people, and all they really want to do is take care of people.
Right.
Well, that's not leadership.
Right.
There is an element of caretaking in great leadership. I choose to call it humanity versus caretaking, because mm-hmm. I think of caretaking as the alternative to performance leadership. And we really want to be somewhere in the middle of that continuum where your team knows you demand performance and expect it. And they also know you value them as a human. But this notion of just caretaking people or being an authoritarian on the other side of the continuum, neither of those binary extremes are any good. And so we often see people that get promoted into management that are one or the other. And that's not the way it works very well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Oh my gosh. Okay. So if somebody wants to work with you and somebody's listening right now and saying, man, we really need this on our team, right? What does that look like? Do they contact you, and are they working with you for, is it just a certain amount of time? Is it a few weeks? What does that look like, that journey?
Yeah, the journey is an initial phone call, an initial Zoom call, where I just listen, ask a bunch of questions, just really try to get a sense for what the challenges are, what the opportunities are, where the organization sits, and where the individual is at, emotionally and cognitively. And then from there, we sort of figure out what the process is based on what they need. I'm not a great salesperson. I never try to sell, but it's really about listening and then saying, well, here's what we can do. If that sounds like something you want, let's go to work. Always, once we get to the point where a prospect wants to become a client, the first step is that one-on-one executive coaching that we talked about.
That's good.
Depending on the health of the organization and the awareness of that executive, that dependency drives when we bring the team in and what sort of topics we bring into the team when we actually do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we, I skipped the step of discovery in between that. So we always do discovery before we start workshopping with the team. So it's the one-on-one, it's the discovery, and then we start training the team based on what we've architected with that top executive.
Okay.
Sometimes that can take a few months. Sometimes there's a client that we've been working with for almost 2 years now. The longer term clients tend to begin to look at us as partners, as true extensions of them, versus a consultant that's on the outside. They find that we can just expand their ability, their bandwidth, and their capability to improve their team's impact, efficiency, and joy. So, you know, if you can afford to do that, why would you not do that? So that's kind of what.
That's really great. That is really awesome. And I hope that those who are listening have their little, you know, their ears opened up here, because I think that this can really improve, especially as we are going through a pretty, you know, tumultuous time right now with, you know, with the economy and stuff like that. But what I want is for, you know, the leaders and the CEOs and stuff who are listening to understand the value in this and the value that it is to pour into yourself so that you can pour into others. There's such value in that. Please don't look at these things as, it's just a consult. No, it's not. That's not how this works. When you hire someone like Wayne to come on, like he said, they do become your partner because their interest is your best interest. And I think that that's what people need to know, right? Like, we're not just out here saying, oh, Wayne is just saying, hey, hand me the money. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying is like, I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to, and this stuff, let me tell you guys, this stuff translates to your personal life. Because when you start to become self-aware in your business, in your company, with your coworkers, you think that doesn't go home? It sure does. Maybe when you go home, you're not so angry, or you realize how you're talking to people, or you realize where your time is spent. Right, Wayne? This is like a full thing, right?
100%. And that's why, to the point you're making, I think the notion of, can you be more balanced as a human? Can you understand the things that are getting in your own way, where you're getting in your own way? And can you understand that it doesn't have to be the way it's always been?
Right.
Quick story. When I was on Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, you can hear my voice is raspy. You probably can hear my air breathing. I have a pretty small airway. I've had a bunch of surgeries growing up. And it's just, you know, something I've always had to live with. And so climbing Kilimanjaro was a pretty good stretch for me to do. Mm-hmm. But I worked through the fear of it, and I had a lot of fear after I agreed to do it, and wound up on the mountain in the middle of Africa. And on the third day, looked around at my friends that were with me and my oldest son and said, this is amazing. Like, I think we overtrained for this. Like, we're crushing this experience. It's fantastic. 30 minutes later, I completely blacked out. I was disoriented. I didn't know where I was, I couldn't sense that anyone was around me. Mm. Talk about fear and just disorientation. The reason I named my company the Jaro Group is because of this experience. When I, at the moment, I thought, I can't go on. Like, I just don't know what I'm going to do. The head guide of our guide group showed up in front of me. And he put his arm around me and he took my backpack and put it on his back. Mm. And he said, Wayne, you're going to be okay. I want you to just follow my footsteps and we're going to get to the next camp. I don't know how long that took. It could have been 10 minutes. It could have been 2 hours. I don't remember. But I know when I got there, everyone was happy and feeling good. And I made it to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, 19,000, 3 days later. The corollary is, we get the most anxious when we think we're by ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the truth is, you're never by yourself. If you understand what's around you and just trust that there are other powers, other humans, other resources around you, that is a game changer. And what we try to do is just sort of replicate that experience of that guide guiding our clients, taking their backpacks when they need us to.
Yeah.
And helping them get to where they want to go. That's what we try to do.
That's so freaking cool. I was going to say, so you're carrying their backpack and you said it. I mean, that's like such a beautiful way to have people really understand what it is you're doing with the company. You know, the fact that, you know, you're going to make it, you're going to get there, and we're going to do it as a team, because you couldn't have done that by yourself, Wayne. There's no way you could have done that by yourself. And so for him to also realize, and this is another thing, Wayne, right, is like, you come in and you can recognize and realize where you, the company might be disoriented.
Yeah.
You know? So that's so good. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and for coming on here and sharing your story. Really, this was so good. I love topics on leadership and development and just helping people be better versions of themselves. So Wayne, before I wrap up and let you go though, I'm sure that there's people listening who would want to know how to get in contact with you. So give us that. How do they, you know, work with you, get in contact with you, hop on a call, all that stuff.
Yep. Well, if anybody wants to kind of check out this guy from Kilimanjaro and with the voice, I'm on LinkedIn, Wayne Berenger on LinkedIn. Our website is jaro.win.com. What does that mean? We want to win. So it's jaro.win.
That's good.
And then Wayne at jaro.win gets you in touch directly with me. And I give away a ton of tools and information. I'm not proprietary about any of this because I just want people. I get up every single day to help people have a more impactful, efficient, and joyful time at work. I don't see the reason why there's so much suffering. I used to be the sufferer too. Probably created plenty of it myself. That's just not a part of it anymore.
Same.
It doesn't have to be dollars changing hands to reach out. So please do.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for seriously coming on and serving my community this way. And, you know, just giving them a different way to think about their leadership, their businesses, what they're growing, or how they could even grow themselves in the process. So I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you too, Nita. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Guys, I told you, another good human in the books. I told you. Make sure that you contact Wayne. I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below so that you can really start to think about, you know, how you're thinking about, what you're thinking about when it comes to your structure and your businesses, and how you, somebody can come and maybe carry a backpack for you if you're in need of that, right? Because that's what it's about. It's about guiding you to that next level, to that next place that you want to go to in your business, in your career. So don't take these things small. They're not. Coaching is huge, all right? And especially when you can have somebody come in and really help you look at yourself, and maybe you'll find a couple of things that you can fix, but you'll also find a couple of things that make you extraordinary and why you're at the position that you're at. Right. So don't think this as a negative. This is actually a really great way to invest in you so that you can invest in others. So thank you guys for being with me. I love you so much. Like, share, subscribe. You know the deal. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.